I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 320. Anybody's birthday, anniversary, bar mitzvah?
100 more.
What's your birthday? Cover?
325, it's coming up.
Isn't Dan, I think Dan's 320.
Is he?
I don't know. I was born in September. It's you, me, Blake, and Dan. Yeah,
and Steve
and
Kelly.
Steve Kelly. We're all in the same week.
Yeah, I'm September, so we got
You're good to go.
Well, we're going to...
We get to episode 900.
Yeah.
924.
There it is.
Well, happy birthday, Dan, if it's your birthday.
Yeah, it's your birthday episode, so...
Because it's only once ever. Like, this is the only shot. If we miss his birthday episode...
We can't do it again.
We're going to have to start a whole new podcast.
Yeah. And then wait for 300 and whatever.
Right. So,
we're going to have to do like six a week.
Yes. So, I don't know. I'm all spun around. So, Blade Runner 2049 or 2049 or 2049.
Dan's birthday episode would be 323, Joe.
Okay. All right.
But good catch, though, because if you miss it, like you said,
right,
we're done.
We're done.
Like,
yeah.
He's
hopefully he'll be back by then.
Yeah.
He's off making salsa or something. I don't know.
Oh.
No, he's not the salsa maker.
Oh, that's right.
He's out making money, probably.
Yes, that could also be true.
He's usually out working when he's not here.
Yeah.
So Blade Runner 2049 or 2049.
I remember seeing the original.
Or MMXLIX.
Wow.
I Googled
it. Oh, yeah, I was like,
geez.
He's on his computer right now.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Should we go around the table?
Yes, we should. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
Hi, Matt Reedy.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. So just real quick, shameless plugs, iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, please, thank you. League of Show Shares, facebook.com/realspoilers there. Okay.
All right. So I might catch some crap for this.
Not from me, you won't.
Fair enough. I don't think the original Blade Runner is that fantastic.
Dang.
I think it visually...
It's a stunning film to
visually,
look at.
Like, and any sci-fi flick has copied that from here on out.
Yes.
I
think this film suffers due to.
I actually don't mind the way it looks. I like the way it looks.
Well,
the fact that it's still in the same world.
I think it looks good. I just think it suffers because it feels like we've seen it a bunch.
I gotcha.
So I'm curious on Matt's take because I know he's a big fan of Blade Runner as
That's
a whole.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I think I've only seen it once before. I just rewatched it before the last one. It's a slow movie.
It's very slow.
It's a very slow movie. It is a beautiful movie.
Yep.
And I think the way you have to watch it is as a time capsule because it was 30 years ago.
Sure.
And look what they were doing. It is brilliant.
Oh, he was leaps and bounds above everybody.
And
at that point.
I watched the first Blade Runner again.
Did you see it in theaters?
No, it was R. I couldn't.
Really? What year did he...
What, it came out in 84?
30 years ago.
It was early.
83?
So I did not see it in theaters either.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I've seen 9 different versions of this damn movie.
But, you know, the thing is, though, I am hard-pressed to find... And especially because this was done back then and before a lot of CG and everything. I mean, this was practical effects. It is such a lived-in world.
Agree, yes.
It is a beautifully dystopian. Like, you never go, oh, that's a set. Like, oh, my God. It feels like they went and filmed it at some post-apocalyptic, or right. you know, not post, but you right. know, rundown.
Just everything about it looks real, in, and yeah, like you said,
and the original came out in 82.
Okay,
and I mean, I remember me and my friend Nick. We were huge Star Wars fans because I mean, I would have been 11 when this movie came out.
I was born.
Shut up. But it was like, you know, when you're told that there's a new movie starring Han Solo and Harrison Ford, and it's a sci-fi movie, and by the way, it's R, and you're 11, and you can't go see
son
it.
Son of a...
I was in the exact same boat. I was 10 years old. I could not see it.
And
then.
So it's like you're reading all the star logs, which is... They used to have these things called magazines.
Yeah.
And,
Fangoria is one of my favorites.
Yeah, and so like you would read star log for just to get... You know, you would buy the novelizations, or you could read it. Like, that's the only way that you would get it, right?
You didn't buy Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? You bought the novelization of the movie?
Probably. I don't know.
That book's from like what, the 30s or something. Ah, Philip K. Dick.
But yeah, if you wanted to see it like that, you couldn't. It was an R-rated movie, and so
back when that mattered,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and
there was no home
into it.
There was no home video in 82. There was. I mean, it was
Betamax.
But it was in its infancy,
right.
And it was like
there was one kid on my street that had a VCR.
Right, I mean, like
they were $1,000.
Like yeah. I was a baller in 82 because we had cable. Like still like, whoa, you guys are doing okay for yourself. Yeah, if you had cable.
You also walked around with a movie camera.
I was just,
I did have my own video camera.
I was telling, I said this online or something, but my grandparents were the first ones on the block to get a VCR. It was $1,000 back in the 80s, I guess.
How much mine was.
That's a lot of money back then.
I had a VCR that was $1,000. I had a camera that attached that was also $1,000.
Yeah. So
I remember my dad worked at the Holiday Inn downtown, and he would fix like electronics. And whenever they'd be like, nope, this TV's broken, we got a new TV. And that's how we got our VCR. Like, I think there was a VCR in a room that didn't work, and my dad got it to work. It was the top loader.
Yeah, mine was top loader.
Yeah, and it was great. Like, it was amazing.
This is so funny, and it's totally dated. I know it isn't funny at the time. It makes sense, but I was just watching old home videos from the early 90s. It might have been Christmas 90, and my mom, for a Christmas present, the big present was a VCR for her room. She had her own VCR.
Yeah.
And so, like, in 1999... I got a DVD player for a Christmas present. So, I mean, same thing, same concept, but it's funny just now, years later,
is
it a VCR?
How technology is just like, no, I gave you a Netflix subscription.
Right?
$2,000 in 1982 adjusted for inflation.
And that was the massive.
Is $5,200.
That's
jeepers, creepers.
That's just the device.
That's a car.
If you wanted to own a movie on VHS,
$100.
They were outrageous.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
They were first
$100. Oh, yeah. So, like,
and that's in early 80s dollars.
Yeah.
Because
it was the way the business model was originally set up was they wanted you to, it was for rentals. And so they didn't think anybody would ever buy movies. And so instead of pricing them to sell, they priced them high because they knew that the stores would have to buy 4 or 5 copies. So they were like $89.99.
I knew that's what Blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
So you lost it, they charge you $100.
If you scanned, like we had our POS system. In both
it
terms,
was a PS.
In both
I
terms
saw,
of the word,
right before Blockbuster closed, I saw the computer they were ringing. It was still DOS.
Oh yeah,
like it was still.
It was a blue. So the blue, day they closed, it was a blue screen with white, you know, and you had to type in get, and then you typed in the movie, and it wouldn't even find the movie you were looking for, or find the customer name.
Like this
it was
is
a mess.
Wow. The 2000s.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Blockbusters.
But yeah, you would scan something, and it would say what the PRP price was, which is the previously rented product price, which was $10. But then if you scanned like an old VHS, they would ring up at $100 per tape. Yeah. And it was just like, I mean, this was, I started working there in 2000. So you're looking at like Castaway and The Matrix, I think were like the two massive releases.
Right.
And they would somebody didn't bring those back. It was $100. Like that was towards the tail end of VHS.
Right.
But yeah, and I think Castaway was more because it was a double cassette. Like Castaway was a 2-cassette.
It's not a long movie though.
I'm almost positive it was a double cassette. That and Titanic. Positive Castaway was a double cassette.
Every time I watch Casino now, I could tell exactly where the part was where you have to switch the tape.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, here's the part. No way, I don't have to.
So Matt Reedy, where were you when you first saw Blade Runner? Home video then?
Home video, yes.
Okay. And so tell
us. Cable.
So what was your impression then and now? What's your...
I think, you know, back then it was more of... It wasn't so much a story, because when you watch a story, it's pretty basic. And it's actually kind of funny when you think about it, because the character is supposed to be a detective. Does he really ever solve anything?
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know...
He's there to solve a murder, right?
Right. But he doesn't quite really do anything. And the whole idea that he's supposed to track down these other replicants, and they kind of... The situation kind of worked itself out anyway. You know, I mean, he just kind of stumbles upon all the replicants. He could have done nothing, and those replicants would have died on their own, because they had a... That was the idea, was that they only lasted four years. You just had to wait them out. Right, you wait them out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because, you know, I was thinking about that. Rutger Hauer dies, like, at the end, pretty much right after their interaction.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So if they would have just never interacted...
That's right. He would have just died anyway.
Doesn't he scare him off from Waylon? Like, isn't that the deal? He goes to Waylon to extend his life, and then Deckard shows up?
It's not Waylon. You're thinking Alien.
No, but they do.
No,
I think there's...
Well, Waylon's in Alien.
But who's...
What's the company in?
Oh, it's Tyrell.
Tyrell. Yeah.
Sorry,
because Waylon is Alien.
Yeah, right.
But no, he can't. He says, you know, spoilers for Blade Runner, the first one.
Right.
Like, be warned, we're talking about this. He goes there, and the Rutger Hauer, there's like four replicants, and their lifespan's 4 years. And
right.
So they want to live longer. So they go to the guy that created them. And Tyrell is taken over in this new movie by Jared Leto's company. But anyway, so Tyrell's still alive back then.
Nakatomi.
So Rutger Hauer wants his life extended, and he's like, you can't. Like, these are not robots, so to speak. Like, they're genetically made, but there are cells involved. This is like real cloning, so to speak. You know, like, more like you're growing a human.
And they don't know that they're clones.
Yeah.
They don't know that they're robots.
And so, it's not like Terminator with a bunch of circuits underneath. These are organic but created beings.
That guy should just stop speaking to the press. I'm talking about James Cameron.
Just
go make your Avatar movies.
So then
I was just trying to say that the dames don't know how to make a movie.
Yeah, stop.
I think we can all agree on that, right?
The dames don't know what they're doing.
I mean, I think a broad can make a good movie if it's like for other broads.
Yeah, you know?
His wife has somewhere written in the prenup where she's just like, or the alimony, she's like, look, if you say one more thing, I'm going to own you.
Yeah, if it's a movie about like how to make an American quilt, like, just know about
the
quilts.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Right.
You know.
I mean, my Katie made the surfing movie. It was pretty good. But
the pants need to be like maybe like a pants suit.
That's true.
Like, they can't be like suit pants.
I'm just saying, you might want to lose a few pounds before you put the pants on.
Right.
One of these days, Catherine.
Yeah. She's like, right, I'm going to take you to the cleaners.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to get an Academy Award.
And now I'm making better. Yeah, now I'm getting the movie. Yeah. Tyrell says, we can't. You're organic. Like, we've designed you with a... not a virus, but there's something that will attack
like
the cells,
basically.
And it's there's no cure because it's all organic and in the body, and so that's why he goes there. And then
Sean Young,
he leaves, he kills Tyrell, so that's, you know, the head of that company dies, and then him and Deckard have the big fight.
It's pretty good. It's a good fight.
Yeah, like, they're out in the rain, and he gets some monologues, but then he ends up just kind of collapsing, like going on his knees and dying. Like,
right.
That's the end of Howard's character. So I'm just saying, if he didn't fight Deckard that day,
now,
by the next day would Rutger Hauer been dead?
I'm trying to remember though, because he's in the rain, and I thought if you got a replicant wet, then there would be more replicants.
They would replicate.
They would replicate, yeah. Right?
That's a gremlin.
But,
what you're thinking of?
Did
is that okay?
Did he feed him after midnight? Though,
but if you feed a replicant after midnight,
then they turn.
They
into
become
a
troll.
Correct.
Okay,
that is correct.
Gotcha.
You can't do that.
It's a lot to remember.
It's a very,
it's
very,
very
easy
very
rules
intense,
here.
Yeah. Very, very intense.
So,
if we were
so
in Germany, I would make the replicants bunk.
Allure of the movie at the time. It wasn't so much the story. The story was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's easy to pick apart, as we're just doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like $1 million, and it sounded like $1 million. I mean, the soundtrack is pretty much considered a classic amongst the Vangelis soundtrack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. You know,
where you have Zimmer in the new one, right?
Yeah, Zimmer.
Yeah.
Kind of
Zimmer.
Doing
Zimmer.
Doing,
yeah,
over top.
When I heard the horns, the Inception horns, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer, of course, yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, it was a great movie. You know, it's very highly revered as one of the best sci-fi films of all time.
It was the first DVD I purchased, too, just because I wanted to see what that looked like on DVD.
So my Austin Powers first DVD doesn't quite
hold
up.
I'll raise you a Superman the movie.
Okay. Oh, well, that's classic.
Yeah.
We'll allow it.
Thank you.
Was it Man of Steel?
It was not Man of Steel.
So do you do you, as a fan of the film, you know, and I like the film too, but I'm not a diehard, you know, and I, and it may be an age thing, as in, you know, obviously when it came out, I wasn't around, and then it wasn't my first VH, like, so I just didn't grow up with, I mean, you know, The Matrix in 99, I was a teenager, like that for me, and of course, which is inspired by many other movies, but I just mean that's my sci-fi, like, whoa, The Matrix. Do you think it is as revolutionary as a sci-fi film, as a statement, as an important, smart movie? Like, what is your take on it?
It's hard to say. That's one of the reasons I wanted to come here. I wanted to hear someone's take that didn't grow up on it. Was it? Did it seem that important? Yeah, I mean, it just seemed.
It doesn't to me.
It doesn't to me either.
I know it's supposed to be.
I think Blade Runner is a classic example of a movie that's easier to admire than it is to enjoy.
Yeah, and I would agree.
And it, and again, it's a great looking movie. And I think
it's gorgeous.
I think where it really the part of Blade Runner for me that I do consider brilliant, excuse me, is it's the first sci-fi movie, at least mainstream one, where I remember somebody had the notion that it's new technology to us, it's not to them.
Right. Like, right, totally.
Before that, sci-fi movies were, you know, if it took place in 2025, it was like every car looked like it just rolled off
I feel like Escape from New York is like that.
It is.
And not the shiny part, but it's just
It is a little bit.
Except grimy.
Except the difference is that it's he's deliberately dropped into a grimy prison.
So
it's not necessarily what we see isn't necessarily indicative of the universe as a whole. It's this particular place that is a complete shithole, filmed here.
Shocking.
In St. Louis.
Yeah. But yeah,
Joe was not to police the streets yet.
I wasn't out there yet. Yeah. This the entire world looks like that.
Yeah.
Like, it looks lived in. It looks not gross, but it just looks like it looks
dirty and smoggy. And like even when the technology is amazing and they have these hovercrafts and oh my God, they're amazing. But it's like, but they look old and beat up and dirty. And because that's what it would look like.
Did Blade Runner invent the enhance?
Did they invent the zoom in thing?
Well, they say enhance.
They say enhance.
You mean the picture that he enhances on?
He enhances a Polaroid.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one of the weird things. Like, again, I love sci-fi, and I do enjoy Blade Runner, but the fact that it's not even like it's a computer file. He scans a photo, and I've scanned a lot of photographs in my day, and it looks like a bunch of dots up close.
Right.
You know, because the printer prints dots.
Yeah.
It's measuring DPI, dots per inch, but, you know, our eyes don't see it looking away from it. But anyway, he scans like an old Polaroid, and then he's able to enhance like a trillion times, and then like move around corners and see
CinemaSins does Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And it breaks it down to you're just like, oh man, there's some problems.
I think it's funny that it's supposed to be, you know, 2019 and they still have the big CRT monitors with the green screen.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know there's no way around
no.
that.
No,
but I would like to see is somebody like when they make a sequel, like have the technology still kind of look like that.
Yeah.
Like have it be futuristic, but also retro at the same time.
By the way, I was wanting to get to this when you mentioned the timeline that this takes place in. The one thing about the sequel that I find funny is that they call out the year it is when knowing now that 2019 is never going to look like 2019.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
We're 2 years away from this. It's not going to look like Blade Runner.
Right.
So therefore, the world that the new one takes place is never going to look like that either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So now you're really drawing attention to the fact that you were way off.
2049.
On what the
future,
yeah. I saw Escape from New York in like, I don't know, 1999, and that takes place in 1997, and it's just like, well, none of that happened. Like, New York didn't break away, did it? I don't remember.
Well, 2001, all this.
So Blade Runner, the original. You know, I find it to be a beautiful film. I thought again as like a time capsule going back 35 years. It amazes me because I had seen it probably on DVD years ago, and now I watch the high definition transfer.
I have like the Blu-ray.
Watch the final cut.
Whatever,
it's beautiful. It is a gorgeous film, and it's a good movie, but it's slow, you know, and I think that's what would turn people away these days.
And I think the movie has also been done a disservice by all the different versions.
I agree.
I think that could be somewhat to blame for the box office. Yeah. Is that
could be
if you're trying to jump on and like, oh, let me see, and you're like, you think, oh, I only got to see one movie, and then you go to look it up, and there's like five different
cuts. There's like the theatrical cut, the extended cut, the director's cut,
and then the final
then the
cut.
Final cut.
So the final cut is the consensus. So if you haven't seen this movie yet and you want to watch the old one, or you just want to go back and watch the old one after seeing this, watch the final cut. That's the definitive one that came out just like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like the director's cut, but they did some other things that...
But I will also say, as somebody who's lived through all this, I can't tell you how many times we've been told this is the definitive cut.
But I mean, and so far though, I mean, I'm just saying like that is
no,
the one
I'm not
that,
saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that like we've been told right. that repeatedly.
I'm sure. hoping there isn't a director's cut of this movie.
Yeah.
Because I don't need another
I don't think,
3.5 hour
Yeah, I don't
cut.
Think, I mean, Denis Villeneuve, is that how you say it? Villeneuve?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's,
you know, director of Sicario, Prisoners, Enemy.
Enemy, which one? Was that the Jake
Gyllenhaal
doppelganger?
Really
movie?
Good.
That is a good movie.
Really, really yeah. good. Giant Spider.
Arrival. In the third act.
Yeah.
And Arrival.
And
which
Arrival
is one of my
from,
favorite movies from
yeah,
last year.
Yeah, exactly. So,
is that
I mean,
last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Director, I mean, yeah, the director is great. And Ridley Scott was apparently also, he was a producer, but apparently also involved in it. So I think that at this point, this director for the new one is able to do what he wants to do. I don't think he'll need a director. Like, I don't think there was a lot of meddling. Like, they gave this guy...
It's two hours and 45 minutes. I don't know what you can put back in there, because I felt like that...
Well, cuts can be smaller, too. They don't always have to add.
Well, hopefully they cut some
But
some
I just
of that
can't... I mean, I know that that's true, but I just can't imagine that they were there was studio interference.
Make
to
it
say,
longer.
Make it longer and slower.
Yeah.
You know?
No, but yeah, exactly. But I don't think that the studio interfered at all, is my points. Like, I don't think they'll need or have a director's cut on this one.
I will also say, just real quick, back to the original Blade Runner. Yeah. I know this is blasphemy. I liked the narration.
I did too.
Really?
That's one of those things.
I did too.
Okay, because it made it felt like a gumshoe movie.
Yeah, which is what it was supposed to be.
That's what it was supposed to be.
Like, I didn't think that I had zero problem with the narration.
Growing up on comic books, that's what they did back then, right? Anything you read by Frank Miller, there were thought bubbles, but you. Sin City, Batman, The Dark Knight, Watchmen, all that stuff was, most of that story was told through narration.
Yeah.
So I like that trope. I guess you can call it a trope. So in Blade Runner, I'm with you. Like, they're doing like an old 1920s gumshoe movie,
right?
And I dug it.
That's
like,
the
that
hook
cool.
of the movie.
Right.
It's a film noir, but it's sci-fi. Like,
yes,
which is great. It was
it's
a great.
It's their awesome pairing. Like, it's a very cool pairing.
Looking at it from that perspective, I guess I could understand it. I don't like that they feed you what's going on. I just thought it was a little. I don't know. I think if they dumbed it down. Like, I feel like in this movie that you can figure it out based on what you're seeing and what the characters are telling you. I don't think they had to force it to you. And the one thing I really didn't like about the final cut. With that regard is when his partner at the end leaves the origami figure.
Yeah.
And they put his voiceover from the last thing he said to him when he picks up the origami. We saw that guy make an origami the whole movie. You didn't need to have him pick up the origami and then have the guy say the same line back to him. I just didn't like it because that was like narration. I mean, it was like, oh yeah, it was him that, you know what I mean? It felt a little like,
Yeah, a little spoon feed.
Yeah, so anyway, this isn't the final cut they have that. But I think they really wanted you to end on that question of, is Deckard a replicant?
And
I mean, that's what it...
So we should say this now. There are spoilers in this movie. There are questions that are answered. There are characters' origins are revealed. So if you haven't seen it yet and you are... look.
This is one I want to watch.
If you haven't seen it
yet
and you're a fan of these movies, you've seen it.
Yeah.
So you already know. If you don't have any intention of seeing it, just be forewarned. Yeah. There are spoilers and questions are answered, basically.
So what was everybody's consensus? Were you guys on board for people who have seen it or watched it and remember it? Like, I mean, did you think Deckard was a replicant even after rewatching it, or did that ever cross your mind?
No, I mean, I kind of figured that's what they were getting at.
I think they hinted at it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
they left it open-ended. It was a spinning top. Like, it was, you know, like,
Or was it?
But I mean, they definitely position it in such a way that, like, it could, you know, like it could be.
It's a good way to end a movie.
Yeah, no, it was a solid movie, and it was a good twist of like, oh yeah, he could be.
Maybe
like,
he is.
Yeah, but you know, I wasn't up at night wondering.
Right. Yeah. It's one of those questions.
Are you talking about
at the end of the first one?
At the end of I thought you meant it.
Not at the end of the first one. I mean, were you on board with him?
You know, the first time I watched the movie, never once did I think. He was supposed to be a replicant.
Gotcha.
Not even once. And then when they had the director's cut or whatever it was, one of the billion cuts, then they they tried to steer you that direction.
Right.
I was like, oh, that's kind of a cool twist.
The
movie doesn't live or die on that twist being real or not.
Yeah.
Me. I mean, it's kind of cool if he is. If he's not,
it works either way.
It works either way.
Yeah.
So leading up to this one, did you guys watch the shorts? There's three shorts.
No. I knew that.
I watched the animated one.
The anime one. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That one's great.
So yeah. So there's
the guy who did that.
It's the guy that did Cowboy Bebop.
That's what it is, yeah.
Watanabe, I can't remember his first name.
So there's three shorts. The Batista one was first. It just shows you that basically Batista is a farmer, and he gets in a scuffle of sorts, and it's really short, but it just basically it shows you that he's going to try to sell. He's like a farmer genetically mining something.
He's making like grubs. Growing
maggots. Oh, that's
I don't know if they were. I don't think they were really maggots, like, but
yeah,
that's what they look like.
That must be. See,
when about the
he said it was a protein farm.
Yeah. So, when I watched the short, though, they don't like explain. Now that I've seen the movie, that's right.
So he brings protein farm in my pants.
he brings them into cell, and the guy will give him like five.
Like Morocco.
You're slacking. Yeah, so Batista brings it in to sell, and the guy gives him like $5,000, and he's like, $5,000 can hardly pay for, you know, my expenses, whatever. So he leaves disheartened, and then he sees like this family that he like waved at when he went in or whatever, and they're getting attacked by some guys, some, you know.
Does he power bomb them?
Suplex. And what's his finisher?
The Batista bomb?
Yeah, so there you go. But anyway, so
it's a sit-out power bomb.
So
traditionally referred to as the Tiger Bomb.
Yeah, I know. He actually, what he does is more similar to Batman in Batman v Superman. I think he slams a guy's head through a wall and there's blood all over
Perfect.
The place.
Perfect.
So anyway, but you find
just
out.
Just like Batman does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he kills them. And then this one is maybe set 10 years before 49.
Because one of them is a bomb. Is the bomb that they reference what happened in Vegas?
Okay. Oh, the blackout.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So that's not this one. Okay. So this is like maybe 10 years or 5 years. It's very close to this movie. But someone on the payphone goes, "Hey, I found that replicant you're looking for." So he calls the Blade Runners or police or whatever.
Gotcha.
Right?
So okay. It gets us to
so
where
it gets
the
us,
opening
yeah.
of the movie.
Yeah. Okay. The other one goes back to the blackout. That's the anime.
Right.
The anime is about the blackout. So that one, I think, was maybe the second one. No, that's the third. The second one is Jared Leto. They introduce you to, do we remember his name in this one? It's escaping me.
I'm drawing a blank.
Starts with a W, right? Not Waylon.
Not Waylon.
So we'll find it. But so Jared Leto's character, it explains how his company bought up Tyrell, because
which doesn't make sense, because they tell you that in the movie. They explain like
at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, like I get wanting to do that, but then they explain in the beginning of the movie that Tyrell shat the bed basically, and Jared Leto's company comes in and scoops up the pieces.
I mean, I think it's promotional. I mean, this came out a month before the movie.
Also, okay. That was the opening crawl text, right?
I think so.
And I got to tell you what,
that was
and it could have been the theater I went to, and I sat in the back. It was hard to read.
It was
very,
it was
hard,
very
to
hard to read. So we went. I saw it at the High Point, and my eyesight is fine, but we were like in the middle to the back, and I'm just like, I leaned over to Spath. I was like, "Can you see that?" And he was like, "Nope."
Because you guys are old.
We are old men, yeah.
So it basically just introduced you to Leto. He does this thing. He basically, it tells you in the beginning that his company bought Tyrell, and then he comes into a little meeting where he's meeting with some
execs?
Politicians.
Okay.
He's meeting with politicians, and he comes in with his assistant, and he's talking about, "I want to get replicants made again."
I gotta tell you, she was a high point of this movie.
Well, no, that wasn't her.
Oh,
no, no.
Oh.
Well, let me go. Okay, this is not her. He comes in with "quote unquote" human assistant.
Oh, I see.
And he says, "I want you to let me make replicants with my company," because Tyrell they banned him after
the
craziness in the first one.
Eights. Yeah.
Next, I think eights too were the last ones where they fixed whatever. So he's like, "I want you to pass this law to have him," and they're like, "No way." And he's like, "This will never happen again, like they did before." And he turns to his assistant and he says, "You need to it's either me or it's you. You know what you need to do." And the guy takes a knife and shoves it in his own neck and kills himself. So he's like, they're totally obedient. And so I guess this little meeting got replicants.
So this
back.
Has to be pre-Gosling? Like, Gosling hasn't been created at this point?
Yeah. Yeah. This
Spoilers.
Is probably like 20 years in the past, I would say.
Okay.
And then so the anime takes place 2 years. I want to say that's like 2022 is the anime. The anime is very shortly after the film, and I'll check that while we're talking, but I think that was the closest one to the original movie.
Okay.
And that shows you the blackout, where basically they're hunting down people are hunting down replicants because they're afraid of them,
right?
And if they were to dispatch of the listing of all the replicants, then people couldn't find them,
right?
And so the anime is like 15 minutes. It's really well done. And it just shows you them eventually taking out all the records, right? They eventually
That's the part I didn't understand, right? So if an EMP goes off, wouldn't the replicants all die?
They're not robots. Replicants are organic.
Oh, okay. Remember? Okay. Yeah.
But this is just for the records, though. They just want to take out the listing of serial number, whatever, right. So that you can't find them.
Right.
So those three things are different time periods, and they just help lead up to the film. If you haven't seen the movie yet, I mean, I think they're worth watching. The first two are just like 5 minutes, and then the anime is really well done. So,
okay.
So that's what's
it's
happening.
All on YouTube,
so,
right? It's all
yeah,
free.
It's all yeah, free right. Promotional. So that's what happened. So yeah, blackout. People couldn't find the replicants, and they're still trying to hunt them down
because it was dark.
Yeah,
correct.
Right. Well, it erased all the records too. That was the main point behind it.
Yeah, they get a. Yeah, they do. There's a scene in this one that's very similar to what was the movie we saw where the guy goes down like the secret basement. Oh, it was Death Note. Where the guy finds like the secret basement full of all the files and just happens to walk in on the one file there.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
Wallace. You were thinking Waylon because Wallace is Leto's character in his company.
Right.
So the blackout, and then Wallace takes over and is able to start making replicants again. And then we're introduced to Batista and how they were like trying to hunt him down.
So just jumping into the movie now, 30 minutes into this thing, Gosling is a Blade Runner. And his job is basically to hunt down replicants. So we see Big Dave, who this guy, I feel like he might be the new Jeff Goldblum. And what I mean by that is he has like some of the highest growth. He's in movies that are like the highest grossing films.
Well, this ain't one of them. Yeah.
But he's great. Like,
I thought
what he has to, he doesn't have much to do, but like that dude has a presence on screen where he's, you know, I think with Drax, he has found his niche with that character. Like that's going to be his character forever.
But he was good in Spectre.
He was good in this.
This was the most serious role. Even Spectre, he was a henchman.
So this one was acting. The first one was acting.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I was like, sign me up for more Batista.
Me too.
Movies.
Yeah, I liked
he
him
was
a lot.
Good. What's really weird is I watched this movie in a theater with James Gunn.
Oh, that's funny. That's great.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. It was just weird to be in a movie theater and when Batista goes on screen, like, I'm in the theater with James Gunn watching him. It's like, that's
Drax.
His buddy.
Yeah.
And then
you should have been like, way to waste him. Like, look what he can do, and look what you got him doing. Right.
And then did you guys notice that the kid from The Dark Knight and also in Belko, he was Rooker's partner in the basement of the boiler room in
Belko.
He's the doctor.
This.
He's the mortician or
yes,
whatever.
Yeah, he's the medical examiner.
Yeah. So I was just really weird. I'm like, is Gunn here to like watch Lost Friends in this
all his
movie?
Buddies getting movies.
But anyway,
so Gosling kind of breaks into his house, to Batista's house, because
kind
he knows,
of he breaks. He, into
I mean,
that.
Yeah, basically. So then Batista walks in and he's making dinner or grubs, basically, and they have this conversation where he's just like, "Are you so and so?" He's like, "No, I'm not." He's like, "Well." He's like, what do you do? He's like, I'm a protein farmer. He's like, yeah, but you got that military issue med bag and you've got this. And Batista just kind of like puts his glasses on. And there's the action beats are really good. Like, this is a good fight.
Yeah.
Like, they're
this movie kicked off well. I was like, hey, right on. This is a good scene.
Let's do this.
Like, I
was right there with you. So Gosling, you think Gosling is a human at this point. Mm-hmm. It becomes very apparent where he is getting the bejesus kicked out of him. And he's bouncing back very quickly that he's not human because he takes down Batista. Like, let's be honest, like that's not a thing that's going to happen.
And again, the replicants are still organic, but they've obviously have some kind of superiority, like they're genetically engineered,
strong, agile,
right.
So super soldiers, even.
Basically, dare I say.
I mean, he runs and busts through a wall at some point, and I think Captain America has done exact same
one
thing,
of my
right?
favorite scenes.
Doesn't
in the movie.
Cap bust through a wall when the door's locked and like Winter Soldier?
He uses his shield, but
I thought he runs anyway. But I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So he gets the you know,
he's like, don't do this.
Batista has a moment where he's just like, you don't know what a miracle is until you've witnessed.
You've
one.
Never seen a miracle,
right? And Gosling's just like, whatever. And he beats him and he cuts his eye. Like the way you can find replicants now is they have their serial numbers like underneath their eyes. So like you have to scan the serial number under the eye.
Wouldn't that have been so much easier in the first movie instead of going through hundreds of questions?
Right. Yeah. The other one was all the weird tests.
Yeah. But it's smart. I mean, okay. First of all, I love it. It kind of reminds me of, you know, bear with me, the interrogation scene in The Master. I mean, like, same.
I thought the same thing.
Did you? Okay.
I did.
Because, I mean, I love that scene. It's incredible with Joaquin Phoenix and Seymour Hoffman.
I have not seen that movie.
Oh, my God. Amazing scene. But anyway, when he's interrogating him, you know, I'm like, oh, that's funny. But I liked it. I liked the series of questions he used to detect them. But this also makes sense that this is 2049, and maybe they did this even a few years later. But it's believable that they would, too, be like, okay, this is getting ridiculous.
Right.
Let's put this barcode on the eye So, you know, I like it. It's a smart progression in technology. Right. Right.
So Gosling, he gets all the pieces he needs. While he's there, though, like, so he's going back. He reports back to Robin Wright, who's like the chief of police.
Oh, is that Robin Wright? Mm-hmm. So she was just in Wonder Woman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for her. I mean, that's too.
Yeah. She got out of the shadow of her crazy ex-husband.
Oh, can't stand him.
So, yeah, she's like, just report back for your baseline and then you're good to go. So as he's getting back in the car, he notices this little flower at the base of this tree. Right. So the tree's dead and he's just like, this doesn't make any sense. So he takes the flower and then he has his little car camera do like a thermal image of as far down as it can go. Mm. When they get that back, they realize there's a box like down there. So what I dig about this movie is it's art house sci-fi, much like Arrival. But I really liked this detective. Like, it's a detective story.
Yeah.
And he's working a case. And I don't think you see that often anymore where it's not spoon fed to you. You don't know. Like, you are with Ryan Gosling's character, who I think is Kay or Joe.
He's known as Kay.
Which is always, it's always weird to hear my name on screen. Like, I don't know why, but they're just like, oh, you're Joe. I was like, hey, that's me.
You must hate G.I. Joe.
Yeah. Such an uncommon name.
I know. Well, it is.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that. And I'm like, Sheriff Brackett. Oh, my God. And then I'm like, oh, Howard Brackett and In and Out. And then I just found on, oh, my God, Breakdown. Is that the Kurt Russell one?
Yeah.
The
one where his wife goes missing? Great movie.
Is it The Town is called Brackett?
Oh, I don't know.
Remember, I think the town is the song. Like, for me, it's like that's one that you don't hear often. But
so I miss these kind of movies. Like, I miss a good detective story where you don't see the next move.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going on. And
have you seen Brick?
Yeah, I love Brick.
Okay.
Brick is great.
Just
no, story. Yeah, that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Just because Rian Johnson's directing Star Wars, that's coming out soon. So
no,
I just
Brick
thought,
is
oh,
fantastic.
That's a good like modern noir.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So he takes these bones back to the.
Bones. We haven't even gotten there yet. They scanned.
I'm sorry.
They dug it up.
Takes the box back, and he, you know, they scan these bones, and they're just like, yeah, it's another replicant. And he's just like, but there's these scars on her hip bones that show a C-section. So, Gosling and Robin Wright are just like, this is bad. Like, if this is a replicant and she had a baby.
That
we
means,
got problems. Yeah. Like, if this gets
can't
out,
keep track of.
Well, it's not even that. Like, if these things can procreate now, like we are in. Like,
that's a game change.
Yeah, we are in trouble. She's
Jurassic
like,
Park.
Basically, yeah.
Life finds a way.
I love Jeff Goldblum so much.
I do too. I can't wait for Thor.
By the way, back
I'm
to
so
the tree and the mystery thing.
Yeah.
There was also, he found a date.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. There's
carved
a date
into
carved
into the root.
And it kicks back to a memory that he has, sort of.
Yes,
it's going to tie in.
But that's the thing is, like, so if you remember in Arrival, he's dropping hints the entire time in that movie, and he lays it all out for you, but you don't realize that he's doing it.
Those
are
the best. I talked about that. Like, I love going back and watching movies like The Sixth Sense. Those are, you know,
or
you watch
them
again. Get Out, exactly. Yeah. And I love watching the clues that you can pick up. The Prestige.
Yeah, totally.
Love The Prestige because it's all there. Like,
Space Chimps.
Totally Space Chimps. Yeah. I didn't think about that one.
A lot of people forget.
Wow. Good Looking Out.
Yeah.
That's very good. But yeah, so he's laying it all out for
you. So
you
can be a detective like Gosling.
Correct.
I mean, you are him and you are getting clues and maybe you can solve it before they show you on screen. Like, it's fun to be able to detect along with
it's
the character.
It's very hard to do in today's era.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen often anymore.
Yeah. You have to be clever with your writing because, you know, a lot of movies fall into the predictable. We've seen these time and time again, and it's always nice to have ones where you're like, oh, I don't know what's you know
going
what I mean?
On.
It's a little like.
So they figure out that this is it's an older replicant. So they have to go to the, I almost said Waylon again.
They have to go to Wallace.
They have to Wallace
Tyrell,
Core or whatever and read the serial number and figure out where this came from. So
they find this out because they go to the morgue, right?
Then there's a serial. Yeah, they figure out that there's a serial number somewhere on a bone or something. Mm-hmm. So he goes, and this is where we get the. It was such a weird. I liked this character, like the character who's like the. I guess he was a replicant too, like the guy who was working.
Is he the guy from X-Men Apocalypse?
No, because
he's not.
Oh,
the. What's that?
Caliban. But it was.
It's
Steven
not.
It
Merchant.
Wasn't him.
It was Steven
it was
Merchant
Steven
and
Merchant.
Logan.
No, not Merchant. Oh, yeah. The other one.
Yeah.
Not Stephen Merchant, but was he the other one?
I don't know.
The other Caliban from the other X-Men movie? I don't remember.
Okay. Anyway, going on. He looked a lot like him.
He did, yeah.
They were both bald and kind of pale, but I'm like.
Right. Yeah. So they go down to, like, the records part, and they find, he's like, this is all we've got on this one thing, and it's this tiny little card.
That is absolutely Caliban from X-Men really? Apocalypse.
I wonder if that guy just looks that way, because he looks exactly the same.
Not a lot of opportunities to get
Because I mean, it's like almost like that was Caliban in the record room. And so I was like, I know that's kind of weird to me to be like, oh, skinny white bald guy. Like, I mean, is that the other one? But I'm like, I think it is.
Same guy.
Yeah.
So this is where we're introduced to Wallace's
his assistant,
basically.
She's freaking awesome.
She was great.
I love that character.
I thought she was a lot of fun.
She was so badass.
Have you guys seen her in anything else?
No.
I was going to say, wow.
Everybody in this movie, with the exception of Gosling and Harrison Ford, I've never seen. And, well, all right.
Yes. Robin Wright.
So everybody else in this movie,
except for the five or eight major people.
Yeah, right.
So was
Batista.
That...
Batista, yeah.
Oh, I'll look up her name.
She was the brunette,
I thought she was great, and it made me, maybe she just had that face, you know? Maybe she had that actor.
She had that face where she's very pretty, but she's also a little odd looking.
Yeah.
That makes her.
It made her questionable. Like, correct. Yeah.
This was, in my mind, their attempt to have a character as iconic as the Roy Batty character, the Rutger Hauer character in the first movie.
Yeah.
They wanted somebody that you can, even there might be quote unquote the bad guy, you
kind of rooting for.
Right, kind of,
So she kind of says, she's like, oh, sorry, we can't give you much more information because everything was destroyed. If you have any more information, please feel free to give it to us. And he's just like, man, that's a little fishy, but all right.
Yeah, like obviously, so at this point, you're like, something's up. They know that this serial number, you know, she looks it up. She gets the intel when Gosling shows up of what it is, and it pulls up on the computer.
And it's like
obviously
an alert goes off.
Yeah, they know they've been looking for something to do with this. And I like how she's in a meeting. She's like, I got to go. Like, I just like how she interrupted. We're like, oh, there's something to this.
Right.
Yeah, and then she just shows up and she takes over for the guy that is, you know, I just like that.
Yes.
She's like, I'll handle this from here.
Right.
And then she immediately knows exactly which one. Oh, no, we don't have that.
Yep,
goodbye.
That one's gone.
Good day.
See ya. So Gosling goes home and he's, you know, this is where we see his pseudo girlfriend, I guess.
I thought this idea it was kind of like her. It reminded me of
what it was.
It's just a sci-fi remake of Lars and the Real Girl.
Basically. Yeah, right. And Gosling's like, I did this once. It's fine.
But like, I got this down.
He's got like a hologram
projector.
Yeah, like and it moves, you know,
on a little track.
Right. Yeah. And she can only move so far. And it's very obvious that he is into her and vice versa, but they can't do anything because, you know, science.
So in the future, basically, this company, just like her, and if you've ever seen that, which is great with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, this company is manufactured like companionship. You can buy this person, which it goes to the next level. It's not just a voice, it's a hologram that looks real. They can do everything but touch you.
Right.
I mean, it looks like not a Princess Leia hologram. It looks like a full color.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's not a blue hologram.
I didn't
know
what the hell you were talking about. But
So it's a full realistic. So besides from the touch, and they talk to you and interact, and I mean, very good AI. I mean, for all intents and purposes, you know, if you didn't know it, she was a human. It wasn't like she was like, hello, good day,
well,
sir.
That's the
you
thing
know,
is, like, you never see her. So like, he comes home, and he's like, hey, I'm home, and then you hear her voice.
Yeah.
Like,
she may as well be human until you find out she's a hologram.
So he buys this little stick that allows her to go mobile. So, like, he plugs it into his little pad on the wall, and she becomes...
She doesn't need to track anymore.
Right. Yeah. She uploads into the stick, so she can go anywhere with him, wherever they want to go.
See, and I like this. Like,
I thought it was cool
for
technology.
For a science fiction film, right, you want them to invent things that are, you know, you sometimes you miss, and the computers look like old CRTs or whatever, right? They're not that futuristic. But then this is, like, something where it's
But we're
not,
here. Like, that technology exists. You can go watch the Tupac thing where the dude,
right. But
know,
I mean, this is, I like that it's the next step, though. Like, sure, we have AI and we have things you can interact with. You talk to Siri, you talk to your phone, all that stuff, your Alexa app, whatever. But I mean, the fact that, like, she was able to walk around and you know, be a full image type of thing, like, that's taking the technology to the next step. And that's what I enjoy about sci-fi, is not just flying cars and not just. Project, you know,
cool
holograms,
guns.
big buildings that have huge TVs, right?
How much did Coke pay for that?
Yeah,
because I mean, they were also in the first one.
Yeah,
I'm wondering, because my guess is they probably didn't pay for the first one.
No, oh, you don't think so?
Well, the first one had three big ones I can remember. There's a big Pan Am.
There's
sign.
A Pan Am.
There's an
Atari
and Coke,
and you get all three in this movie.
Did you get
again?
A Pan Am in this one? You definitely got Atari.
And the short, in the short, the anime one, they show the exact same cityscape with the same ads, which I thought was cool. Because it was only a few years later.
Right.
Yeah.
But I thought we
I didn't see Atari.
I think it was Sony. Sony's all over this
can
one.
Can we say how many production companies they had for this movie? So it was Paramount, Sony, which I think are Columbia and Sony, which are the same thing. Paramount and Warner Brothers.
Huh.
They were all these rights are weird.
Interesting. Like, okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, probably has to do with someone that has the right to the story, and then someone that has the right to the video. You know what I mean? They probably all have to team up together to make it happen. Yeah.
So he tells her about his day. She's super excited that now she's mobile.
I thought she was really good.
She was great.
She was good too.
Yeah,
yet another actress which I've never seen her before.
Right, exactly. I mean, they have some great actors that, you know, aside from these ones that we do know. You know, was she Joy? Is that her name?
Yeah.
In this?
Yes.
She was played by Ana de Armas.
I'm guessing
silent S there.
Yeah, she was.
She was fantastic. She was in, just looking at the IMDb, War Dogs. I never saw that one.
I didn't either.
And then a couple of Knock Knock with a. Keanu Reeves. I wonder if she was one of the girls.
She was good though. Rewatch that movie though.
Yeah.
So now this case is starting to ramp up, mm-hmm. where he's getting more information, and we realize does he go to see Edward James Olmos?
Because he goes to see him pretty early.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So he shows up, which I was wondering how referential this that was that the referential.
Sure.
How much it will reference
this movie, the previous movie. Like, if it's going to be, we know Harrison Ford's in this movie, but I was curious if
don't fall asleep during the last 30 minutes. You might miss him.
I mean, that's a hell of a paycheck for how long he's in it. You know,
what, man, 2 hours in or something.
I will say this from an audience reaction standpoint. I don't know if androids dream of electric sheep, but judging by the snores, the lady next to me was. She crapped out like 20 minutes into the movie and slept through the whole
thing. That's a shame.
I mean, I was seriously. Like I was debating was I guess maybe you didn't see this one, but I was debating was Channing Tatum in Kingsman more than Harrison Ford was in this movie that he's on the poster for.
I gotta tell you though, I appreciate the fact that
they didn't shoehorn him into a movie where it didn't make sense.
Like I like that it was Gosling's movie.
He does pop up when it makes sense.
Right.
They don't.
It did take a little bit longer to get to him than I thought.
Yeah.
Right.
I would agree with that.
I didn't mind.
I like it. I'm just like, people are thinking this is a Gosling Harrison Ford movie.
Correct.
Like, I just thought, I mean, it has to be 2 hours into it. And then I thought, wow, Harrison Ford's hardly in this. How long is Leto in this movie? 10 minutes?
So this is
just real quick. I double checked. Pan Am was for sure.
Oh, they were in it? Okay.
Yeah. I thought I saw him, but I wasn't 100%.
I think they were banking on a sequel.
Yeah.
For this? Oh,
yes.
Wow.
They
don't kill anybody. They leave that ending open. You don't really know what's going to happen at the end. You know what I mean? Like, Leto is on the case as well. Like, he has the information that Gosling has. So
we'll come back to it, but I believe they left this open.
If they didn't do another one, they'll do it
in another 35 years.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
It could be done. You're right. It works on its own, but there
Given
is.
Given the
that,
box office, maybe not.
Yeah.
So he figures out that he's having these flashbacks to his past, which is he talks about his past where he was the memory that he has is him as a kid in this
orphanage,
something or other. And he is being chased by these bullies, and he takes this little wooden horse that has that date that we keep seeing.
It's the same date. The
same date on the bottom. And he has this horse. Like, he knows that this horse was his. He puts it into an old furnace and closes it. And he's like, this is the memory that I had that keeps coming back.
Yeah, as a kid. The dream is of him doing
it.
So
he sees this woman who is like the greatest memory implanter of
Wallace, she's a consultant.
Right.
So he asks, so it's like the thing is that these replicants all have memories, and we know from the first one that they had memories, and so this one, the replicants don't have the the age restrictions, right?
Right,
so like,
right.
So they live
they can
longer,
be children.
But they're born as adults, but like they have that full life of memories. And that was something that the first one touches on is how do you give people a life of memories to shape their current state?
Right.
If you know, you need those memories to,
and this is what she does.
And that's what she does. And it's really neat. I thought, again, from a sci-fi standpoint,
right.
I loved her making the things. It was like video editing, putting this here and this, like that's how a 3D artist would render things and be able to lay them out.
I skipped the part where he goes, he's having visions of these memories of this orphanage. He figures out where this place is and he goes.
Oh yeah.
And
was that before the memory girl?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. So he goes there and he sees the guy who is on The Walking Dead now, who basically has this, these children, like he's on this other planet, I guess other, I don't know if it's another planet or if it's just another part of where he is. I don't remember.
No, I think they said it was off world.
It was off world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're always a little vague about what off world means, though. Is it a moon? Is it a planet?
Right.
Is it a ship? I mean, I guess
it's a planet of some sort. So he ends up having an interrogate. Like, he interrogates this guy where he's just like, I need this. We already know this date. Like, I need to know the kids who you've had on this date, who were born, what happened to them, where they mm-hmm. went. So the guy goes to the thing and he opens his, he's got this giant,
and this is like
book.
A child slave labor. They're
basically
using the orphans,
he's selling kids
to go through computer parts and everything.
Right. And I did like where
make
he's,
iPhones.
The new 8s are out. What do you want to do? I did like where he flips his badge down and the guy's like, oh no. Like, I don't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
So he goes to the pages and he realizes the pages are missing. Like this whole year.
From the year that
the
he's
year
looking
that
for,
this kid
right.
was supposed to be there. The kid that is in question, there's no record of this kid on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I mean, we should mention, is it so Robin Wright has sent,
he's gonna deal with it
to go, but this is like very under wraps. They don't want to get this to get out.
Right.
He is supposed to go find the kid and she wants to kill
take care,
him.
Take care of this kid,
right?
Kill this kid. So then he goes to see the memory maker and she kind of says, he's like, that now they've started to plant seeds
mm-hmm.
that it's possible.
Yeah, you're
that,
starting to wonder
that Ryan Gosling could be this child in question.
And especially if you've seen the first one with the Harrison Ford dream and they're questioning that, you're starting to think, is this memory real? That's
right.
What you're, you know.
So she
can tell.
She says, she's like, this is real.
She has, you can look into a device, you know, like an optometrist would check your eyes. She looks in one end and he goes through it and she can see the memories. And I love this, especially retroactively.
Yes,
you know,
I
love this. And she gets kind of emotional and she's the memory maker, you know, and she goes,
because I think
someone lived this.
Initially, you're thinking she realizes this
that
is
she
a
made
real,
the memory.
This is a real memory.
That's what you're led to believe is that she is the memory maker.
Right.
So,
and she says, she's like, even every great artist leaves a piece of themselves mm-hmm. in a memory.
Yeah.
So,
love it.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Absolutely love it.
Brilliant. It goes back to Arrival.
Right. It's
like
the,
it's all
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
So Gosling loses his mind because he realizes I am in trouble.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Robin Wright.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I don't know if I misspoke. What I meant to say is that he thinks he is the legitimate birth child of a replicant. She just knows that somebody made this memory.
Right.
Since she's the memory maker, she can tell the difference between a manufactured and a real.
Right.
And so I wasn't trying to say that she thought she made that memory.
No, right.
She knows that someone lived it. So
yes.
Sorry if I misspoke.
So this is where he goes to the orphanage mm-hmm. and he finds, he realizes where he is.
Cause he's like, oh my God,
this is the memory.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the furnace. He reaches inside and there's the horse.
Yeah.
So now you're just like, well, okay, plot
these
twist.
Are real memories.
Like,
they
didn't tell you this in the trailer. They told mm-hmm. you nothing about this. So I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool.
Yeah.
No, they did have a trailer that showed him looking at the book and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
That I thought was like, wow, they're really giving away a lot right here. Like, this trailer basically told me he was a replicant.
And
you know
okay.
what I mean? But, and, okay. You know, I didn't know that there was going to be a mystery about one that was born or anything
yeah.
like that.
Right.
But I thought that particular trailer gave away a lot.
And this is why. Don't watch trailers.
Exactly,
I'm glad
why.
To not know about any of this. But yeah, so at this point, I believe, though, didn't he already analyze the DNA? Did he have his assistant?
He did.
Okay.
And we realized that the bones in the that they find is Sean Young. Like, that was a big...
Right.
And I was just like, whoa. All right.
But he finds the DNA of the child, though, right? Because isn't he comparing, he's saying
Didn't
two
he?
People have the same DNA.
He somehow finds this DNA
I need to watch this movie again.
Yeah, there's a lot of info.
It's a lot. And
they he's like, it's impossible for both of these kids to have the same DNA.
Right.
So now you're just like, well, crap, now there's twins.
And I didn't know how I felt about that, because it's like, why is it impossible? They're replicants. This is a brand new world in which we've embarked. So is it impossible?
It's improbable.
There is. Ooh.
But if they're twins.
They could. I mean, twins have the same fingerprints, right? Like, that's
kind of...
No.
What's
no.
the one thing that... Oh, it doesn't matter. He goes to...
I think it's probably because they're organic. Even though they're replicants, like, they aren't clones. None of them look the same, so
I will accept that replicant twins would not have the same DNA, but right. what I won't accept is that a scientist would say, here's this brand new thing that's never existed, and I know a rule for it.
I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like right. you don't know,
right.
because it's you're dealing with an entirely new life form.
Right.
So you don't know.
You have no idea
how that would work.
So we cut back to the morgue, basically, and there is Wallace's assistant. And she's taking the bone.
Yeah,
she's taking the bones. And then here comes.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, she does. Hey. Here comes the little wormy, like, scientist. He's like, oh, you can't do that. And he's like, oh. She goes, oh, no, it's fine. Like, here's the paperwork. And he goes to turn around. And then one shot smokes this guy, like, kills him. And she was just like, yep, I have all the stuff. And she's piling
it
all
that,
in.
That part got me more than, like, any jump scare.
It got me good.
I was like, whoa.
And then, like, he's laying on the ground. There's, like, blood coming out of every orifice on his face.
Yeah.
So she takes the bones because she realizes she also knows who this person is. So Gosling, I'm trying to think. He gets into another fight. Oh, he comes back from being off-world.
And he does find out when he's looking for the birth records. I looked it up that two twins were born on that date that he was looking for.
Right.
With the same DNA, except for one was female, one was male.
One was male.
So that's he finds out.
Okay.
Just so you know.
So he goes back to Robin Wright, and he has to do his baseline, and he is off. Like, he's way off because he has this new information. And
I like this, too. I like the way that they find the baseline, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of reminded me of the Master,
it
too,
did.
With the test as well.
It's also very reminiscent of the questions they ask during to find out if they're replicants or not.
These were a lot more repetition. Where like a master, it's supposed to be like Scientology.
It is Scientology, right?
But
it's not.
But, right, okay. But it's where they ask the same things and they do, you know. And so this was like repetition, where the other one was more detective.
And he has to answer. Yeah. Like, he has to answer questions quickly and on time.
Now, is this the part where he lies to her and says, "I took care of it"?
Yes. Okay, so he goes in and he's just like,
"She's like, you're way off your baseline.
She's like,
you're nowhere close.
I found it. I took care of it." And she's like, "What do you mean?" And he's just like, "I took care of it."
Yeah.
And she's like, "I can buy you 48 hours to get you out, but you got to go." And
so then he teams up with Nick Nolte.
Correct. Yeah. He calls him the N-word a lot,
yes.
which doesn't make
weird,
any sense.
Neither of them are African
American. Correct.
He starts singing Roxanne.
Yeah. So he knows that he has to talk to Deckard. Like, he keeps referencing Deckard. He knows that he talks to James Edward Olmos, who's just like, we don't know where he went. Like, he found home. And I thought
I thought they said he retired. Like,
he retired.
He's dead. Well, that means you're dead.
Oh, right. So. But he's like, he went home. He found a spot and he just went home. So
did you guys think whatever it was in my mind when he alluded to it. I mean, the word retired, I thought that meant.
I think I don't know what that
you
meant.
You know, I totally missed the whole part with Edward James.
Oh, okay.
I went to the bathroom.
Oh.
Seriously.
Yeah,
when the movie was over, I was like, was he in this movie? I missed it.
I went to the bathroom when he has the dream of him putting the horse in the furnace thing. So I'm like, dang it.
What does that mean? So
I can't believe I'm the one that made it through this movie without peeing.
I did.
3 hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's impressive. You just had to sit there.
Yeah. I mean, I did pee, but I didn't get up to go.
Oh, jeez.
I just owned it. I'm like, this chick's asleep. She's not going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how he decided to go to Vegas. Like, I don't know where that comes from. Like, I can't remember.
There was something about, like, there's a dirty bomb and there was a dirty bomb there. That was where the records were stored.
Right.
Where the blackout, right?
Where the blackout
occurred.
Yeah,
I think that ties to the blackout, and he goes there and he sees that he checks the radiation.
It's all fine.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I just thought it was because he's a replicant. And he's like, what do I care?
I also thought that as well.
Yeah, I think the radiation said it was fine.
It might have. I was losing. My interest was waning.
So.
As well.
That's the question.
Yeah. So I gotcha. Okay.
Not
okay,
necessarily,
okay.
But yeah.
Well, interesting. I didn't even put that together until you just said that.
He looks, that dog, what you don't know, was a puppy, and he looks pretty rough. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, so he shows up, and he goes into, like, and I, so initially, when he walks into that building, I thought it was the building from the first movie.
Yeah, I thought, like, he was living in the headquarters of Tyrell.
Oh, that's what I mean, out in the desert?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I thought so,
I
too.
Didn't realize what that was until they, like, the show tunes and all that
stuff.
By the
way, are we already jumping to where he's going to Vegas?
Yes.
Because we did miss one thing, and it may or may not be important. And
no, please.
Really not.
No, do it.
The
go
part
for
with,
it.
With the prostitute, with the replicant prostitute.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. So, yeah, he is approached.
And so we think, I think that I these think. Girls are working for Wallace.
I right. think they're all
because right
replicants.
After right after Wallace and Love, the assistant,
yeah.
are talking, you know, like, take care of him, whatever, do what you got to do. Then these three girls are talking, and they've obviously been given some orders to find him.
Right.
They
right.
see him, and they try to sleep with him.
Well, the one, the one does like she merges.
Well, like on their
with,
own. I mean,
it was
but
like
then,
it was like that scene. Well, they did a scene similar like to that in her.
Yeah,
and
sure,
then,
sure.
And also, I hate to quote this. Also reminded me of Ghost. I really hated the fact that I just quoted that.
it gets
but,
your jaw
you know,
a little
bit.
Oh, it's
crazy. But you know yeah. what I'm talking about.
I thought you were doing shorthand for Ghost in the Shell.
No, no,
realized,
no, no.
He's
no.
talking about Peacewing.
Did I tell you what my fantasy hockey team name is?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
What is it for the...
Hattrick Swayze.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's really good.
That's really good.
So anyway, long story short, you know, he has sex with the prostitute. She
right.
slips the little tracking
the tracker
device
into his coat.
Into his coat.
I tell you, that coat was badass.
It was.
That was a cool coat.
Was it as cool as Deckard's in the
I
first?
I think like, it was as cool as Deckard's in the first one. Deckard's has a cool
replicant
coat.
Replicant has to have cool coat.
They got a cool coat.
I mean,
coat,
Blade
I,
Runners.
You know.
I'm sorry, Blade
yeah,
Runners.
Right.
I mean, maybe replicants, but Blade Runners got to have a cool coat.
So
I liked that scene, though, between them again. First of all, again, that actress that played his companion.
The companion.
Yeah. She, I just think she's fantastic. I really like how the prostitute had to do the actions, and they layered it on top. I thought from a visual standpoint,
looked
it was great.
Didn't it
looked
amazing.
It had
some
amazing.
Weird moments where, like, she put her hands on the back
of his
head.
No, I love it.
Head,
yes. But
there was, like,
it never quite lined
ten,
up.
There was 10
yeah.
fingers
but
on
yeah,
each hand.
But, yeah, it was great. And yeah. that wasn't like, oh, they did a bad job.
No,
with
no,
CGI,
no. I thought it was creepy.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
She had the real person and then her, and you really felt for that character, did it? I mean,
she's definitely in love.
For her because she was in love, and she may as well have been a real person. He loved her, you could tell.
Right.
And that moment, I just thought it would looked really great.
So this is when he...
By the way, what was the rating for this movie?
Oh, this is R.
No,
R.
Idea.
Was
yeah.
R?
Yeah.
Okay, because
there's boobs.
But during that scene, there was none. In fact, they kind of, for a sex scene, they did make sure they cut
yes.
from here up.
Correct.
I was like, oh, this may,
were,
might be PG-13 then.
No,
you
I'm
know?
Pretty sure it's rated
R. What were the boobs?
When she wakes up in the morning. When the prostitute wakes up in the morning.
Also,
oh,
the giant
on.
Hologram
the giant
at the
hologram
end.
Hologram
yeah.
boobs.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
were
the, yeah.
the,
yeah.
maybe the
yeah.
biggest boobs ever seen on screen.
They could be.
I don't know. Dolly Parton's been
I would say 9
movies.
To 5.
Yeah, 9 to 5.
Oh, okay. She didn't get them out, though.
She does not get them out.
No. I mean, I think those things were three stories high in this movie. So.
I stand by my stand.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to use the maraca on myself. Yeah, I got us off track here.
Do it. Oh, yeah. That's true. That's what we do.
So this is the scene where he go, like he's going to Vegas. Yeah. So he Ooh, transfers.
Can we just stop and say, because we really haven't touched on how beautiful this movie is.
I cannot.
Shot by Roger Deakins.
It is amazing.
This
amazing.
Film is gorgeous. The Vegas, the desert looking, whatever, the rundown landscape, gorgeous. Everything up into it, gorgeous. But I mean, the movie's beautiful. And I loved the building, the hotel,
yeah.
casino, whatever, where Deckard has been staying. Just the photography on it. I mean,
right.
it's a beautiful, beautiful, and so props for set design.
No, it's a great looking
and
movie.
The shots.
I think the movie's a little too in love with its own look.
You think so?
Like, I think that's part of why it's 2 hours and 43 minutes
yeah,
long.
Yeah, there's a lot of flying.
There are a lot of lingering shots that linger.
Yeah. I would agree.
But the first one is 2 hours of lingering. I mean,
yeah, but it's 2 hours.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
This is 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, so this is almost an hour longer.
Totally. But I feel like my point is just that the first movie is slow, and the only thing that saves it for me, not that I didn't enjoy any of it, but I can take the slowness of the first one because it's so gorgeous to look at
right.
and knowing it was 35 years ago. And like, so this movie's even longer, but again, I mean, I found myself mesmerized by the visuals in a way where I think it had enough CG and action and, mm-hmm. and cool stuff to save it. Whereas I watched something like a Sofia Coppola movie, you know, sorry,
How
you
often
know,
does that
film
happen?
Nerds, but I mean, I've seen several and they're just boring because
yep.
they're such film porn, you know what I mean? And this movie had enough action and other things that kept my interest. But the slowness was saved for me because it was so gorgeous to look at.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a really good
balance. No, it's a good looking flick for
yeah.
sure. So this is where he decides he knows that he has to download his companion basically into this stick, because if the PD shows up, they can get all the conversations, yeah, everything they've talked about, they can download, yeah, from there.
And so, he's on the run,
right? So. She kind of says, she's like, look, if I do this, like, you're in this stick. Like, that's it.
She wants to.
Yeah, if I break, yeah, if this stick,
right,
breaks.
He didn't want to do it.
No,
right?
he didn't want to.
She's asking for it.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
But he's just kind of like, if I lose this or if it breaks, I lose you.
It shows how much he cares again.
Right.
Even though she is artificial, he really does love and care for her.
Yeah. And she's just like, do it.
You got to do
just
it.
Like,
yeah.
Okie dokie, artichokey. And
I loved that line. That was great script writing.
It was very interesting
when
he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, whatever. You can do that. That's fine. It's Ryan Gosling. It's,
I think we only, we only got one high pitched Gosling yell in this. I was a little disappointed.
No, so you get the one with the memory creator.
Okay,
and then you get one later.
Well, maybe you get two, but I was like, I was expecting more high pitched Gosling voice.
Papyrus. So yeah, he goes to Vegas, and then he is walking around this hotel.
Yeah.
And this is where you hear Harrison Ford, and he was just like, you know, what are you doing here, kid? He's just like, I just want to talk. And he
definitely shoots first in this
movie.
Oh,
absolutely shoots first.
I mean,
first.
Talk
yeah.
about
it. Don't be a director's cut.
Don't worry. Yeah. the retcon it out.
Yeah.
So they,
but seriously, like, he is not like...
No, he's not playing
around.
There's a really good fight scene in this entire thing where he's fighting. He's got holograms of like Elvis and Dolly Parton, I think. Or the hologram. Like when they're fighting in that...
Oh, the different holograms.
The different holograms.
There's Elton John is one. Right.
So there's Elvis for sure.
Elvis is the first one.
Yeah.
I think Elton John's on a piano, I'm pretty sure, in this new movie, The Holograms at Vegas.
Yeah. When they're fighting that hologram.
Elton John, one of the performers at the piano?
I don't remember that.
No, that was Liberace.
Oh, was it Liberace?
That was Liberace on
piano. They don't go real close to it, and so
yeah.
I couldn't remember.
But, and no, Dolly Parton as well.
I'm almost positive that was Liberace.
Yeah.
And Liberace makes more sense
in Vegas
for Vegas than Elton John does.
I think since I just saw Kingsman, like that thing is fresh.
Apparently, he really punched Ryan Gosling in the face in this scene.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah,
really?
Like, he didn't do it on purpose, but like he's like, you stepped on my foot, and then like just the timing of it, he swung and punched him right in the face.
Can I tell you what? I mean... Put Star Wars aside. I still think it's better, but put Star Wars aside. This is the first time I've seen Harrison Ford act in a long time.
It's been a
time.
While. And it's weird
he
because Deckard is pretty one note.
Yeah.
And I mean,
but,
sorry, man.
No, no. I don't know.
But if he's a replicant, he would be.
That's true.
If.
And this is
obviously we know now,
yeah,
right?
I think we know.
I don't think we know either.
I don't think they made it concrete in this.
I don't think they did either.
They absolutely did.
I didn't leave thinking that.
I left thinking it was still open.
Yeah.
We'll get to that scene next.
Right.
So they have a knockdown, drag-out fight. Good fight for Harrison Ford, who is...
But I saw emotion in his face, though.
Yeah,
I mean, talking to Gosling, and especially when they bring up the wife or the mother of the child.
Right.
It's like, wow. I mean, Harrison Ford's been sleepwalking for a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
And I just...
Hollywood Homicide.
Yeah,
Watch that movie.
I just thought, I don't know. What do you think, Tom? You're not quite...
I
feel like he was acting in this.
No, I mean, I thought he was plugged in.
It was cool to see him in a role. Like,
he was plugged in Star Wars, though.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, he didn't have as much...
I think he feels more invested. He knows that these are the roles that are going to be in his obituary.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that he can't phone it in on a Han Solo.
No. Yeah. Speaking of being plugged in, they pushed back Death Wish.
Did they?
To next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, great. Perfect. Hopefully it gets canceled altogether. So he's like, I just want to talk. I just want to talk. And he was just like, all right, fine. So they go upstairs and give me that place. Like, that was awesome looking. Like, that little apartment he had set up. So he's talking he's like, tell me about her.
Not before. Oh, did you see the bottles he had stacked up?
Oh yeah, it was great.
We know in the first movie
he's
an alcoholic.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And this movie, because he just hides out, and what a better place to be at a hotel casino.
Vegas.
How much liquor do you have to have stored up around Vegas, right?
Yep.
And so he's obviously collected it, and the empties are
they're all over the place.
From the floor to the ceiling by the bar, and like around, he could build a fort and like hang out in it.
Yes.
So it was just a funny thing. You know,
he's been drinking the entire time. So they have this guy, he says... This is where Harrison Ford says, Rachel was her name. And we're just like, all right, right on. We're back to Sean Young. And I was wondering if we were ever going to see her so they have this picture, right? They have this, they keep referencing this picture, and it's this woman holding a baby, but her face is super fuzzed out. And I was like, that's how they're getting around Paying her. Like, right. That's exactly what it is. But then you see a picture of her that Deckard has of her from the first movie, and then we'll get into later. But I feel like in this one they said the baby was an experiment, basically, of a human and a replicant could have a child, and it worked.
Right. Like, but she was a replicant.
Right. But then who was the human?
Yeah.
He had to be the human.
He's the dad.
Right. He's the dad. We know he's the dad.
I thought it was about could two replicants have a child.
No, I thought it was a hybrid.
I honestly don't remember if they said specifically human replicant or replicant.
I think they just said replicant could procreate.
They didn't say one or two.
I guess that's true.
They would test that with, I mean, talking about scientific, you know,
if two replicants could.
Yeah, I mean, if you were going to see if a replicant could reproduce, you probably would test it with a control of a human first, right? Because you don't even know a replicant can reproduce, why would you test that with a replicant? Yeah. Like, let's see if human replicant.
To me, this is the end of that debate. If he was a replicant, this is them saying he's not. He's a human.
Okay.
So they have this really good discussion, and Gosling he's like, how does that make you feel about not ever seeing your child? And this entire time, Gosling thinks he's
the child, so he's not.
So they're having this conversation, and I'm with it. Like, I was like, yeah, you have Ryan Gosling. Why wouldn't he be the child? You know,
right.
So they're going back and forth.
I was not on board.
I was.
I was like, well, see, what I thought was that the identical DNA. I thought that he was a clone of the other baby. The clone. He was the male version of the human. So his sister would be the child.
Gotcha.
And then the male would be him, a clone of the child. You know what I mean?
I see what you're saying.
That's what I was thinking, because it felt like red herring to me.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
It turned out to be.
Right. So I saw it. I'm like, we're supposed to think Gosling, because I'm like, it's that kind of movie, right?
Right.
We're with him. He thinks it. He's making all his decisions based on his emotions, and I'm the child. And I'm like, oh man, he's going to be let down.
Yeah. Along with the
audience. I didn't pick up who was the until
Never put
I mean,
that together
and
until,
I love it, but
right.
I wasn't that good.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Wallace, their company, what we think is, we don't.
Do we see Jared Leto for the second time about 2 hours and 30 minutes?
This is where he cuts
it?
Open the other replicant. Like, he kills the one girl. There's boobs there too. Where the replicant kind of plops out of the bird.
Cuts
the things, the stomach open and kills it.
Yeah.
That scene is that scene doesn't need to be in the movie.
No.
To me, that's 5 minutes of film
I think what it's showing is that he's making these replicants, and although they look and feel human, it just kind of shows that he's willing to dispose of them to make his point. Like, if you watch the short, he kills his assistant who's helping him. He's the only one you see with him, and he has him kill himself. These things are just disposable. So if you hadn't watched the short, I think this gets that point across.
Okay.
But
I gotta tell you though, if I had gotten this Leto in Suicide Squad, I would have been fine.
I would have been fine with that.
I liked him. Like, I liked the character he was portraying. I didn't think he was a douche. I didn't, you know.
I don't think anyone's saying Leto is a bad actor. It's
that was
that
a
Suicide
bad
Squad.
It was a bad choice.
It was.
Yeah. And granted, you're following.
He was going for.
He
was swinging for the fences.
He was.
And you can't do what Leto or what Ledger did.
To his respect, he didn't copy the
the greatest Joker portrayal of all time.
Right.
Sorry, Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
He just did a really crappy one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So. They attack, and they take Deckard because they know Deckard has information. They think Deckard has the information on
where the
child
is. Yeah.
So
where we learn from the conversation with Gosling that he gave him up because what was the whole thing?
The whole thing was they wanted to. They know that Rachel was already dead at this point because she died during childbirth, and he did not want.
Wait, died during childbirth?
Yeah, she dies in childbirth. Rachel dies in childbirth.
That's mother of his child?
Yeah.
Isn't she holding the baby by a tree in a picture?
It's not her. That's the red herring. You think it's her. You find out later it's the gal with the one eye missing.
That was her. Okay, I did not pick up on that. Okay,
yes.
Cool.
I didn't pick up on that, but I did. When they were showing the picture, I assumed it was supposed to be Rachel, and I thought, that doesn't look anything like her.
Right.
And I thought it was just far away, and she wasn't in the movie.
Yeah,
but okay, that was the head fake.
Yes. So... God, this is the scene where Gosling runs through the wall, and I was like, "Give this guy an action movie."
By the way, I laughed.
I loved that scene. It was so much fun. That was great.
To me, it was like, "Okay, wait a minute. Did he just Superman right through that wall?"
Yes, he did.
And it's like,
yes, he did.
Even if you're a replicant, he's not a superhero. He's not a robot like the Terminator. I'm like, why did he just bust through a wall?
I don't know, but it was great. It was not. a drywall. Like you could see, it was like a
wall.
Like a concrete wall. I mean, it was like
I don't understand.
I thought
that
it was absolutely ridiculous.
It was awesome.
So there, I would love to know why, or I have to rewatch it because yeah, on first take, I'm just like, why would you even do that?
Well, he was trying to get to.
They were trying to get to the car.
Escaping.
The car from the first movie is in
there.
Port.
He
basically
knows that the cops are coming, or the military, whatever you want to call them, are coming. And at this point, I thought the hooker robot was working with them.
I thought
she gave him the tracking device. Yeah, right. Now they know where he is.
Yep.
Right. So they take Deckard. Deckard leaves, and Gosling is left there by, and he's hurt. Like he's been beat up. He's bleeding all over the place. Earlier in the movie, he gets stabbed and he just like literally just super glues it together and it heals itself. In this one, he's not able to do that and he's beat up pretty bad. He's taken into this.
This
super weird matrix.
Female Rutger Hauer crushes his girlfriend's jump drive.
That's right. They kill her, effectively killing her off.
Yeah.
This is where we find out that there's this woman with the one eye who was the woman we saw earlier in the movie that told the hookers to follow him. And she's just like, this is where we find out it's not Ryan Reynolds. Not Ryan Gosling is the child. She's like, no, we switched it.
She keeps talking about a girl, and he's like, the child was a boy.
The boy died, and we switched it to be the girl. Like, we put the girl in blue, so everybody was looking for this boy, but nobody was looking for this boy. And you're just like, well, then who the flip else is there in this movie? Yeah. And this is why I was like, sequel. Like, this is your sequel. So he is distraught. He's because she kind of said, she's like, oh, you thought it was you. She's like, everybody thinks that it's them, you know, and he's broken at this point. Like, he's just like, ugh, F my life. Like, this is awful. I've lost my cyber girlfriend. I'm not the chosen one. I'm not whatever.
Have we gotten to the rescue yet?
He's going to rescue him.
At this point, and I know this is going to sound dumb because I'm just trying to run down the list of all the characters. And I was like, well, who could it be? Oh, is it going to be Jared Leto's assistant?
Right.
You know,
is she
going to end up being the...
That's where I thought it was.
That's where I thought they were going.
I was like, oh, that's the big
twist. She was the only female character that I remembered.
Right. Me too.
So there's a pretty good scene
who
where...
Who it ends up being, because of the isolation and things, I did start to... I was like, something's up here. And I just
thought they were keeping her safe. Like,
yeah.
But I mean, they were keeping her safe.
That's what
it comes down to.
But you know what's funny is that retrospectively, I can't remember if I figured it out before the reveal, but it's funny because at the time I'm like, there's something to this, and I probably just brushed it off and said she's important. She makes all the memories. Yeah. Yeah.
So
spoiler if you're picking up on what we're saying.
Right.
But.
So there's a pretty good fight scene where Ryan Gosling is chasing the girl and Deckard in this car, and they crash, and like they're going to this airplane.
Deckard was taken to Jared Leto.
Oh, that's right.
Jared Leto, for no reason whatsoever, says, well, we did the typical, we have ways of making you talk.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to take you off world to torture you. I was like, why did you have to take him off world? You can't torture him in that
room? He's like, just tell me where the child is. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I can give you anything you want. And immediately I was like, here it is.
Yeah.
This is it. And here, out of the shadows, here comes Rachel from 1982. And I got to tell you, Sean Young was an attractive woman. Yeah. She was almost Vicky Vale.
Yeah.
If she was going to be Vicky Vale
it's pronounced Vicky Vale. Vicky Vale.
And then she tried to be Catwoman, and
that ended her career right there.
That was it.
That's one of those things, speaking of swinging for the fences, that either like works and it becomes a classic Hollywood story, or it doesn't work.
I was like, this is the crazy.
She was going to be Vicky Vale. And then she broke her leg or broke her ankle.
Who told this story?
I think she has.
But someone, maybe it's probably Kevin Smith, because Kevin Smith is always talking, but I'm like, I've heard this story about this crazy Sean Young edition.
Yes.
Where she shows up in the cast. Yes. Yeah.
So she can't do Vicky Vale because she gets hurt. Mm-hmm. She's auditioning, not because anyone asked her to, for Selena Kyle, and she shows up in the Catwoman suit, and it's... And then she does.
She trashes his office.
To Burton.
Tim Burton's office.
And then
she trashes the office.
Ace Ventura.
Wow.
Like, that's that one.
That was the end of that.
That was it. That was
but
the
this
end.
Was
she was Finkel.
Yeah. But this
Ray
was
Finkel.
This was Michael Douglas Ant-Man CG, not Jeff Bridges Tron CG.
Correct. Yeah. No,
like,
correct.
It was good.
It looked fantastic.
Yeah,
it looked
really good.
And then the scene that. So he's looking at her, and of course he's reminiscing, and he stops, and he was just like, "Her, that's not her." her eyes are green.
Oh, and I like,
just
and
go,
again,
blam!
I think this also sets you up for like why it. We know he would do this, right? Like,
oh yeah,
from the short, if you saw it,
sure.
From the girl earlier, like they're just things.
They're just things to him. They're not people.
They are breathing. They are organic. You know, again, they're not robots, but they're not people.
They're not people. So yeah, so he says, we'll torture you off world.
Yeah.
Gosling intercepts and ends up having a really good fight scene with the assistant and ends up like it's a good scene where like he's holding on to this limo, basically like this flying limo, and he's holding her underwater and he's fighting to keep the limo above water.
And again, Ford's acting, he's actually like looks like he's trying to hold his breath and fight and stroke because he's handcuffed to the car.
Right.
And I thought
he's trying to break the cuffs off.
I thought for like an older guy like Harrison Ford and like someone
shape.
And someone that you know is worth a lot, you know, and I'm just like he it wasn't a double, you know what I mean? Like it looked like Harrison Ford was actually not saying there was no double work involved,
right?
But it looked like Harrison Ford was really getting wet,
yeah,
you know, and getting and struggling.
So this is basically the climax of the movie. Like we're nearing the end,
which was surprising to me because I'm like, oh, it seems like there's another loose end out there.
You know what I liked about it? It wasn't an easy fight. I mean,
it was
she was not an easy fight.
And he was beat up.
His ass.
Like he's beat. He's going into the fight beat up already.
And I think she always
getting more.
She
and
says
more
she's superior. Like you know, she just. She knows it and he knows it, like it's a thing out there, like she's the superior model, so to speak, you know.
So they're swimming and they get to this other part and you think that Gosling is gone at this point because Deckard is just like, hey Joe, where are you? And you don't see him, like you don't see him anywhere. Finally he washes up and he was just like, we can't, what are we gonna do? I don't know, you know. He's like, you're dead, like as far as they're concerned you're dead, as far as they're concerned I'm dead. Like, do you want to go meet your kid? And this is where the reveal happened. Like Ryan Gosling is playing over everything. We find out that the memory maker is the daughter,
and
like,
that
is the girl,
and that implant from the horse
was
with the date on
was
it.
Was her memory, correct.
And that goes back to that great line again. Love it that every great artist puts themselves into their work. It's like, oh,
brilliant.
You know, when you watch, so like that's why I can't wait to watch this again and just pick up on the little nuances, like watching a Prestige or a Rival or
So they go, and this is, you know, it's snowing, and this is the scene. That they kind of like, you could say that so Harrison Ford goes into the place and he sees her for the first time.
And she's like, hold on 1 minute, back turn. And she's working on,
was she working on something?
Yeah. Cause she says, hold on to him. I'm pretty sure.
Something like that. And they have this moment on the glass. And then Ryan Gosling kind of just like slumps down and is leaning.
I presumed he's dead.
He didn't even go inside.
He's outside in the snow. He's letting the snow fall on him.
I mean, I thought he was dead, but
again, they didn't want it to be, I guess.
Yeah. You know, you could do all kinds of things where Leto's already there.
Because he says he's okay to Harrison Ford
and
when he goes
pulls
in.
Open, he's
but then, to me, that was a like, you know, don't worry about me. My job is done. Go meet your daughter, who's important. And then I thought he was dead.
And that's how it ends.
Yeah.
Credits.
It was surprising because I really thought Wallace would have been wrapped up in this one.
That's why, you know, so that's what makes me think.
You never see Leto again after he's like, we can torture you off world. That's it.
Now, there's a few things, like the thing about, like, well, they think you're dead. Well, I was like, why would they think you're dead? You didn't show up to the off-world thing. You know, I was like, maybe they just think you're just missing. You know, they'd still be, in my mind, they'd still be on the hunt for him. You don't have a body.
True. I guess with the crash and all the other people being dead, the, you know, just all the vehicles on the way, it was like presumed dead, you know.
No body, but
I get what you're saying. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I didn't see a sequel setup for this. I just thought it was just kind of like,
I think they left it.
Well, leaving Leto alive to still run this evil company making replicants, there was no closure.
And the daughter's still out there.
There's the rebels, and
there is still an open enough world that they can make another one. But I don't necessarily think it ended on this giant cliffhanger either.
No.
But again, there's just no closure other than, I mean, he meets his daughter, but there's still Wallace, the bad guy, and there's still the resistance. I mean.
I guess I don't really feel like those story points were big enough for me to be like, but they didn't close it out.
You know what I mean? Me too. Yeah. I don't think I need to hear any more about especially the resistance stuff or any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, if they start going on a resistance road, I'm like, oh, now it's
Matrix.
It's
now
Terminator
or Matrix.
I'm just like,
No, I thought it
could go either way for sure. It works on its own and I like it. I'm not mad necessarily, but I do think that they purposefully left loose ends.
If they wanted to.
They're there. Right.
I think, I thoroughly, I liked this better than the original. original. I think
I just wish they had tightened it up.
I agree.
I think that even at 220,
yeah,
yep.
You know what I mean? Like yep. The almost 3 hours. I don't think it warrants.
I think it's a better
hours.
Detective story.
It will because it actually yes. is a detective
Correct.
Story as opposed to the other one really
wasn't.
He didn't do a lot yeah. of detecting.
No. See, this is where a lot of this is where we're going to get in trouble for saying that, or where anybody that maybe
come at
is,
me, bro.
But maybe people that aren't just so in love with the first one, even if you enjoyed it, or casual viewer, or whatever. A lot of people are going to think it's better. I mean, one, it's not as dated, right?
Yeah.
Two,
no, it's got a date on it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. It's
literally,
future dated.
Literally dated.
No, it's future dated, which is even better. But, you know, so it's just newer. It just has a newer look. You have Ryan Gosling, you know. You know, there's things like that to it. And it's Deakins. I mean, beautiful film.
Killer.
I mean,
yeah.
He's a great filmmaker. You know, so you've got all these things to it. And I think there was more action. It just, even though it was longer, I still feel like the pacing was better. Like they, to me,
there's always something going on
there. It was yeah. better yeah. paced.
Those big,
it was better
shots.
I don't know that it was better paced. It was better plotted. Yeah.
Yes.
Like
yes.
it kept your interest.
Those, yeah. those big tracking shots were getting you to the next piece yeah. of your puzzle, which yeah. was, you know,
where in the first one, it looked beautiful. But how many times did they show a ship with buildings like landing for a full going into a 2 minute land?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it was, it looked beautiful, but again, not a lot was going on.
Well,
but here
they spent a lot of time building that set.
Yeah,
and
sure.
like,
yeah.
we're going to get our money's worth.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
But I will say I could enjoy the visuals of the first one more because I know that they're real.
Right.
It's
right.
not just
right.
computer stuff.
To me though, like this world, this 2049 world to me felt as
2049.
Lived in. Oh, is that? I'm sorry. That's the official. It felt lived in though, like the first one. So to me, it did not feel heavily CG and fake. Like it yeah. felt real to me.
There was nothing on it that, you know, some of the stuff like the giant holograms kind of take you a little bit out of it.
Sure,
but
they would look CG.
They would look like, they, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So that's not a yeah, yeah.
exactly.
But like
yeah.
the cities, the buildings, like the big scapes. I mean,
right.
to me, they
it's a great looking movie.
Oh yeah,
I'm not arguing that, but it's still there's just something about knowing that first one
sure.
was practical.
Yeah, yeah. for so, sure.
But people that are fans of Blade Runner, just from what I'm hearing online, like they do not like it. Like. Die Hard Blade Runner
fans really?
Do not like
wow.
it.
Wow. I'm
I would have thought the other way. I would have thought casual fans would have been snooze fest. Diehards would have been like,
let's do
you
it.
Crushed it.
Yeah. They think it's what I'm hearing is that it's, or some people are even like, it's a good movie, but it's not a good Blade Runner movie. For some reason, people just don't
I
think
disagree.
It holds up to
I will
those.
Say, I will say, you could take this story out of Blade Runner and it could stand alone without it being a Blade Runner movie, but it works in the Blade Runner universe as well.
Yeah.
How about this? If you're a fan, go to the League of Show Shares on Facebook. Like, if you're a fan or not a fan, like, what did you think of it?
Yeah.
If you liked the first one, do you think this is a good sequel, or is there some reason that they missed the mark on it?
I, as a fan of the first one, I think they did a great job with this.
And even as someone who isn't a huge fan, I don't dislike the first, but it just never really grabbed yeah. me. I think that this is on par with it.
I think it's better.
And for better
for
and
me.
Worse.
And one thing I liked about this, and this might be a bad comparison, this is the kind of movie that I think AI could have been.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought about AI a lot.
I thought a lot about AI, and I did not like AI. I'm just yeah. sorry. I just
is that based on Philip K. Dick, too? Did that take some concepts
no.
from
no.
the Lecture Sheet?
I think you're thinking of that's the other Spielberg one.
Okay,
did
maybe.
The
Minority
Report.
Report.
I'm yeah. sorry.
Okay,
yeah.
Is that
gotcha.
A Philip K. Dick property?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
So that's, okay.
Okay,
yeah. yeah. But well, that's I think that's it for this one.
Yeah,
yeah. So let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
I already said twice last time. Do I need to say again?
Yes.
It's a new right. episode. They might have skipped
oh,
a box.
That's right. Okay. Matt Reedy 219 at Instagram.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts BUTTS 21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R Brackett. No numbers, just the original.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find us online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Also, don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. And again, if you want to chime in, please do. We love the conversation. You can find us again at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on the League of Show Sharers. So that's it for this one. I think next week is probably what, Happy Dead Day or whatever?
Happy Death Day.
So,
I'm excited for that. Like, I love Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
And I love the Edge of Tomorrow. I always want to call it Live, Die, Repeat.
It's because it's what's supposed to be.
That's what it should have been called.
But yeah, even though I knew that it was called Edge of Tomorrow and people kept mistakenly calling it, and somehow I adapted to the mistake,
yeah.
even though I knew
well,
it was
and
wrong.
And then they renamed it.
Well, the Blu-ray came out with Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. Like, right. They just like, were like,
Edge of Tomorrow was in the Daniel Baldwin film. Right. The other one was Alec Baldwin.
So anyway, but the concept, I really like that idea of
it's
being
Blumhouse
able to,
too.
Yeah. to redo.
It's, yeah, it's, a, yeah. it's
trying
a,
to figure out who's
it's a clever
it.
Way to yeah. bring, to reinvigorate that. Yeah, Groundhog idea. Day type yeah. theme. So I believe that's what we'll be doing next week. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Anderton reveals the flaw of the system and Burgess shoots himself.
You always hurt the ones you love. The one you shouldn't hurt at all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey. Sweetest ropes and crush it until the petals fall.